As Sue said, I'm Glenn. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace Community Church, and I am honored and humbled to be able to share some things with you this morning, because I know that you could be choosing to do a lot of other things than coming here this morning. And you came here to be able to hear something, maybe to encourage you, because after all, I am an expert at life, and I have all the answers, right? Yeah, far from it. But hopefully something that we'll say, you'll be able to take home some little nuggets that will encourage you throughout the week, and especially from the Word of God. Hey, we're continuing our sermon series that we're calling Dollars and Cents. And this is a three-week series, so this is the third week in this series that we're talking about your favorite topic, right? I wonder if at any time during this series, you have thought about the same song I have here. We're talking about Hula, Cash, Bucks, Red, Coin, Benjamin, It's often that people will come and ask, hey, we don't even know how to give here, because you never mention, you don't have offerings, you don't mention anything. Well, you can give. We do have baskets up here. And when we do talk about money, it really is usually talking about bringing in money to send outside of our doors. In fact, over the last 5 years, we've raised about $1 million that have gone outside of our doors for things like benevolence and missions and everything. So I want to put you at ease this morning that our goal is not to pry more money out of you, okay? It's not that, although we are going to be talking about generosity today. But our goal is to discover what the Bible really has to say about money, about this topic, about dollars and cents, and then to apply it practically to our life. First week, we had Pastor Kelly talk about this subject. He was talking about priorities. He brought us into Matthew chapter 6, and he shared some of the words that Jesus shared. Jesus said this. He said, don't store up treasures on earth. Don't invest so much in things on earth. It's okay to do that, but he said, this is a better thing. Invest in heavenly things. Our home group had a great discussion about what that meant and what that looks like, what investing in heavenly things did. And Jesus also said, where your treasure is, there is your heart. So whatever you invest in, that's what you put your passion in and your heart into. And he also said that although money is okay, in fact, money is good, you like to have money, right? You can't serve both God and money. And then last week, Shelley Nomura talked about this, the attitude that we have toward money. And what kind of attitude we have. And she brought up these points here, that first of all, it's all God's. Everything belongs to God. It's all His. And that God is super, super generous with what He has. He gives it to you. He gives it to me. And that because He's so generous, we should be generous. And we're going to explore that third point by talking about generosity, but also putting that generosity into action. Because being generous toward one another, if this is our call for We are generous because God is so generous to us. And how do we show generosity? By our actions, right? We don't just talk about it. When we do that, what is that called? We take what God's given to us and we share it generously. Anybody? You know what that's called? Stewardship, right? We get an A+ on that test right there. It's called stewardship. So God gives us the ability. He gives us the talent. He gives us the means and the money. He entrusts us with it. And he gives it to us to do what? To put into action. To use for his glory. To be generous. To be kind. To bless others. To serve his kingdom. He didn't give you all this stuff so that you could keep it all for yourself. Let me give you an illustration that might help out, okay? Matt, you're the first guy I'm looking at, so come on up here, man. Everybody give it up for Matt. So let's say I want to have Matt be my steward, okay? So I know Matt's name is Matt Arnold, so I'm going to write Matt a check here for $1 million. There you go, Matt. There's my check for $1 million. Now, you go and you be a steward with that money, okay? So I just let Matt do his stewardship thing and everything, and then I call Matt, and I get Matt to come back, and I say, Matt, how'd you do with that $1 million? And he said, man, I love being a steward with your money. He said, it was so cool. I did lots of things with your money. I went on a cruise, and I bought 3 cars and 2 HD TVs, and I treated all my friends to McDonald's every day for 3 years, and here I am, man. I am just so thankful for you letting me be your steward. How would you think I would act, huh? Matt, bring that check back here, please. I'd be kind of ticked off, wouldn't I be? Because Matt, not only did he spend my money, thank you, it is written out for $1 million, but Matt, not only did he spend my money, but he didn't understand the concept of stewardship. He just didn't know what it was. He thought, oh, stewardship means you're giving me your money and I'm going to use it for myself. And I'm saying, no, I'm giving you my money so that you can use it for me, right? There's a big difference. Stewardship is a different concept than just owning something for your own good. Stewardship is using something that's been given for me for someone else's good. The idea of stewardship was really hammered home by Jesus when he told this parable. He said, there was this rich guy, and he called his 3 servants together, and he said, listen, I'm going away for a trip for a while, but I want you to steward my money. So he gave one of them 5 bags of money. He said, go, steward my money. Gave the second one 3 bags of money. The third one 1 bag of money. Went away, let's say 6 months, and he comes back, and he says, how did you do? The first guy says, listen, I took your 5 bags of money, and I did all sorts of things, and here's 10. So the owner says, the rich man says, well done. That's so cool. Come on. You've been faithful in a few things. Now I'm going to put you in charge of a lot of things. Come and share in your master's happiness. And then the guy with 2 bags comes back and says, I did the same thing. I invested it. Here's 2 more bags, and now you have 4. And he says, well done. Come, share your master's happiness. The third guy, and you know the story, some of you, he came back and he said, listen, I knew that my master was a hard man, and I was afraid. So I took your money and I buried it. So here is your money back. Now, if you didn't know the story or the principle of the story, you might think that the owner would say, well, okay, it's not the best, but at least you didn't lose my money, so everything's okay. But this guy didn't do that. He took the money, and he said, you wicked, lazy servant. And he took that bag of money, and he gave it to the one that had 10. And he threw this guy out in the darkness. The principle of this, why did Jesus tell the story? He wanted to teach us about stewardship. That if God invests something in you, he does that for a purpose. If God gives you finances, he does that for a purpose. If God gives you wealth or a good job, or your health, or talents, or whatever it is. It's more than for you just to say, I'll enjoy this. This is mine. I'll keep it all for myself. He's not saying that. God has given it to you, so that you want to be able to know what he wants for you. And he's saying, I think in essence, you know why I've given you this stuff? It's that so you can honor me and you can share with others. I wonder if when we see him, he's going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? Were you a good steward? Were you generous with what I gave you? 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to. So if you've been given a gift, whatever it is, your talent, your money, your abilities, whatever God's entrusted you with, God has given that to you to do what? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to indulge yourself extravagantly. If you have any money, blow it all on yourself. After all, whatever you have belongs to you, so keep it all for yourself. Right? It's the wrong version of the Bible, I think. It's the me version. No, it says this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards. There's that word. Of God's grace in various forms. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. You see why we're given this? Why we're given this opportunity to be stewards? It's to share with others. And to bring God glory. And not only to share with others, but to share generously. That's what we're talking about today, is generosity. And we discover that generosity takes more than just talking about it. More than just knowing about it, right? You have to do more than think you're generous. Generosity requires action. It really does. Look at the example that we have of Jesus. This is found in 1 John. And it says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Talk about generosity, about sharing, about unselfishness. That's generosity in action. No greater act of generosity than Jesus giving his life for us. If you think about it, here it is. The God of the universe, the God that's created everything, he left all of that to come and to serve men and women. To serve you. That's generous. Then it goes on to say this. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our, everybody say the word, by our actions. Generosity requires action. If you don't show generosity, you're not really loving. You're not really giving. You can't just claim it. Moms, dads, you love your kids, right? I hope you're not. At least most of the time you love your kids, right? Right? When my kids were growing up, here's a picture of them, okay? Everybody go, aww. This is taken about 30 years ago. Excuse the blurriness of the picture, but I just love this picture. I wanted to show it. That's Christopher, Stephanie, and Allison. Allison is your worship leader. She's the little one there that's about 18 months old there. And so let's say, like when they were being raised, I used to tell them I love them often. I still do. And who loves you? And the daddy loves you. Yeah, you're right. So what would happen if Chris, when he's that age, came to me and said, hey, Dad, I'm hungry. And I'd look at him and I'd go, Chris, I love you, little buddy. I love you. You know I love you. But you need to go out and get a job. And when you get that job, make some money and take that money and then get on your bicycle and go down to the store and get your own food. Right? Do you think that he would have felt my love and known my love that way? What kind of father would I be? When I showed my love for my kids, I provided them food and clothing and housing and toys and opportunities. I gave them them a time and treasure and talent. I provided rides for them. I did everything. And I did all of this willingly and generously. Most of the time, let's say, most of the time. I tried to do that because I tried to show my love for them by my actions. And it's a good thing that none of my kids are in this service. They will be second service. So for a whole bunch of us, listen, generosity requires an action, and it starts with our pocketbooks. Now I know that when we start talking about wallets and pocketbooks and everything, it's awkward and you really don't want to talk about it. So can I just address this in a practical way and just do an example and maybe do a little exercise? And the thing is, this is only going to work if most of you take part in this exercise. So what I want you to do is reach into your pocketbook or your back pocket, whatever, and take out your wallet, your checkbook. If you don't have that, take out your money and then just hold it up in the air, okay? I promise you, this won't hurt, okay? I'm gonna be an example. Go ahead, do that. Men, take that crowbar and come on, get out of your back pocket. Let's go, take it out. Okay, now we have it all up in the air, right? Now, are you ready? I want you to take that wallet and I want you to pass it to the person on your right. Go ahead, do it. Cross over the aisle, go ahead, cross right over the aisle if you have to. Now here's the cool thing, some of you gave your wallet to a complete stranger. And even more dangerous, some of you gave your wallet to your wife. Now, we're going to take it a step further. Take that wallet, hold it up in the air. Give it to the person on your right once again. Now, I know the people over here in the last aisle, they're going to have 3 wallets, right? You people over here don't have any wallets. I recognize this. I know this. Now, hold those wallets up in the air. The person's up in the air and everything. Now, we're going to take an offering, and you can give out of that wallet as much as you want. All right, quickly, get them back. Get them back before there are fist fights or something like that. Oh, thank you. I almost forgot that. You would have had $1 million. We don't like people touching our wallets, do we? I mean, we will loan out our cars or our lawnmowers or whatever. We'll allow people to stay in our homes. We'll even loan our kids out to people to watch and think nothing of it. But my wallet? You ain't touching my wallet. Martin Luther made this observation right here. There are 3 conversions necessary. The conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the purse. You know what a conversion of the purse means? Action. Generosity in action. It not only means we give our hearts to God, it not only means we give our minds to God, but we give our means to God. And we say, look, my wallet, my pocket, it's yours. It's yours. Because when we open up our wallets, we open up our hearts. Now get this. God doesn't need your money. This church doesn't need your money. And if you leave this church and you attend a different church, they don't need your money. Because God will provide for his work in whatever way he chooses to do. He doesn't need your money. And another thing, and this is hard to understand maybe, but God doesn't need your heart. He doesn't. You need to give your heart to God. You need to know that God has your heart. Because as we discovered in the first week, where your heart is, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So if you are holding on to all your stuff, if you're holding on to your heart, I'm wondering what that says about us, right? Listen to how the Apostle Paul wrote it. He said, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions. Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Generosity, love, faith, they all require action. That's what we're talking about today, action. So what does generosity in action look like? I'm just going to talk about a couple of practical things first of all. So the first thing I can see is just be ready. Be ready to help. Look for opportunities to be generous. And I'm not really talking about like paying for the toll for the person in back. You know, that's cool, that's fun, you know, and everything. But that's not what I'm talking about. Talking about look for opportunities where there's a genuine need and you can fulfill that need and you can do that and do what we had seen in that previous scripture, bring glory to God by doing that, by fulfilling a need into someone's life. I thought back about 37 years ago or so when Sue and I were first married and we were serving in a small little tiny Christian church. I was making the big bucks at $125 a week. Sue was making $75 a week. We were broke. We had a little baby. Stephanie was a little baby at that time. And the generosity that people showed us during that time was amazing. People would provide food for us every week. During that season, we had 3 different cars given to us. I remember one time going up and praying at the altar. I was kneeling right at the altar here, and some guy came up afterwards and said, what are you doing after church? I said, nothing. He said, come on, I want to treat you to some new shoes, because he saw that when I was praying, I had holes in the bottoms of my shoes. This was generosity in action. This was showing love in action. So be ready to help. And then the second thing is this, do your part. How many here, by a raise of hands, could donate $25,000 right now to a charity? Go ahead, raise your hand. You're brave. There's a few of you here. And I knew that not many of us could, actually. But think this. 2 months ago, on Christmas Eve, we gathered together, and we raised, as a body, over $25,000. And we gave it to build a home in Oaxaca for some people that didn't have it. We gave it to provide a renovation of a kitchen down in Mexico that serves at-risk kids. We gave it to provide housing for women who are struggling with addiction and have kids of their own. And then all of this went outside. Now, the beauty of that is that some of you gave maybe $5. Some of you gave maybe $50. Some of you maybe gave $500. I don't know. We don't know how it happened. But when it all came together, the conglomerate was $25,000. And it's because you did your part. Some of us gave sacrificially. You're saying, this hurts. But I'll bet coming into this day today, you're not even thinking of that. Because you gave with a generous heart. Remember what we learned a week or two ago is that God loves a cheerful giver that way, right? There's a story found in Mark chapter 12 that I think demonstrates this so well. I'm going to read it actually from the Message version because it states it really, really cool. It says, sitting across from the offering box, Jesus was observing how the crowd tossed money in for the collection. Many of the rich were making large contributions. And one poor widow came up and put 2 small coins in, a measly 2 cents. Jesus called his disciples over and he said, hey, the truth is that this poor widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they'll never miss. But she gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. I think what Jesus is saying here is, she gets it. She gets this generosity thing. She gets this generosity in action thing. She's doing her part. In our home group, ever since we've had home groups, we've had something that we call the Be the Change box. And it's a box, it's a bank, and it's says be the change on the outside, and we don't even talk about it. We just put it out every week that we come together, and people will put a quarter in or a dollar in or $5 in or whatever. And that you can imagine over weeks of time, it just starts building up. And what we say is, if we see a need that someone thinks that we should bring to the group, then let's see and we'll give this. And do you know that we've repaired people's cars. We provided for someone's rent one time that they couldn't do it. We've given gas cards to people traveling back and forth to the hospital. We've provided food more than once to people. We've provided supplies to single moms, and on and on and on and on. And it's not because we had all this money that we donated ourselves individually. It's because little at a time, we did our part, and it makes a difference. So do your part. And then third thing, I think, and this is where we're going to call the band back up, show true love through your actions. Last night, I was driving home from St. Albans. I was up at a conference, playing at a conference. And as I was driving back, I was listening to TED Talks. You ever hear those? You know what those are? They're just little 10-minute talks about all sorts of topics, from how bumblebees affect mating elephants to whatever. You know, I don't know. But this one that I heard yesterday, the title was this: Helping Others Makes Us Happier, But It Matters How We Do It. And this woman named Elizabeth Dunn, this is her job. She does research on what makes people happy. And through a number of studies, she and her colleagues discovered this, that when people give generously, they become more happy. But this is what she discovered. She discovered that people that give to things like, and I'm going to name some names, and there's nothing wrong with these organizations, but she said when people give to organizations like UNICEF or the Red Cross or these big organizations that are distant and everything, she said the happiness quotient doesn't go up at all. People take out their checkbook and write, and then they don't feel any happier. But when these people started to give to someone that they knew or to an organization that they had connection with, to someone that they were intimate with, that their happiness ratio skyrocketed. And this is the reason why, she said. It's because they were able to express their love and their compassion in a real way through their actions. The Apostle Paul, in his writings to the early church, identified with this. He said this: don't just pretend to love each other. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastic. And then he says, rejoice in confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready. Be ready to help. Always be eager to practice hospitality. He's saying this: church, Grace Community Church, take a look around you. See the need. If there's someone in need, for God's sake, help them out. Pastor Kelly often says this. He says, be the hands feet of Jesus. This morning, I'm asking you to be the wallet of Jesus. And I'm not asking you to give to the church. This is not what it's all about. I'm asking you to honor one another. See the need. Take action. Show true love. Be generous. Let's pray. Father, even now our hearts are being pricked because some of us, we recognize that we have not been generous. You know, maybe there's people in our lives that we see.